Welcome to Christchurch Art Gallery, Te Puna o Waiwhitu. We are here to consider this object on a plinth, on a mattress, by Ron Murick, and it was made in 2000, just a year or two after his career got a bit of a boost. Now, I'd like to say right at the outset, what I'm going to do is give you my perspective on this particular work, which you may or may not, I hope one or two may find something to agree with me, but I'm not going to, I've thought about this in some depth, and it's a puzzling one to know how to handle, but I'll reveal that as I go through. I don't know how many of you first came when you first saw this work, came around and saw just round the corner and saw it sitting there. That's the image that I got, and it was the image of a baby swaddled in its ASL blanket. It could have been one of my own children lying on a cot. And that brings in Murick's idea of scale immediately, because in some sense this is a baby, this is a completion of a circle in my mind of a series of life stages that Murick has taken us through in this exhibition. This is typical of his hyper-realistic work. If you just come up close, you can see this old woman in bed breathing. You can see the rise and fall of the blanket very gently, at least in your mind's eye. You can hear the odd muttered word, and I want to say a little bit more about that later. When I looked at this first, it was just after a relative of mine had been in a very similar situation in hospital. And so that shapes a little of the way in which I'm seeing this. I see this as a woman whose life has been completed. She's on the verge of, she wants to have a rest, she's slipping out. She's left behind a group of her relatives, her clustered around the bed, some of them stroking her forehead, some of them holding her hand, some of them speaking to her and sure that they're being heard. It's a recognition of a life that has contributed and a legacy that has been left behind by somebody. So in a way, this is a celebration of a life rather than something to be maudlin about. And that's the take that I have taken with me all the way through. Now, I know that each one of you will have different perspectives on this work depending on the experiences that you've had, and you'll see it in different ways. But that's roughly the view that I've been working through. This is typical of a Murick work in that at the same moment, it is intensely personal. It's someone that you know, it's someone that you recognize. And you can say that for just about all the works in this exhibition. But at the same time, it's anonymous. It's everybody. It's anybody. It could be someone that you have never had any contact with at all. It is just another human being. And I think that's one of the skills that Murick is bringing to his works, is that he is able to capture life events and help show them up to us. But they're life events that are ordinary. They're not superior. They're not news-making. They're the ordinary events that make up the business of going through a cycle of life. I think at that stage, I want to move on to where starting to think about this work got me. I was, make a disclaimer at this point, is that I'm not going to give you an art history view, but I am going to look at some ideas from the past. And what I'm doing is disobeying one of Charles Saatchi's rules or ideas. Saatchi was asked once, what sort of thing should you say when you're looking at a piece of art and you don't want to seem a complete idiot and to know nothing about it? And he said, just say, what an interesting use of perspective. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to another overheard conversation that I heard. I was walking along here to the Le Caf one day, and in front of me there were three women who had just been seeing Murich. And they were talking about how beautifully made it all was and how highly technical the work was. And one of them said to the other, but is it art? And I'm sure that's probably occurred to most of us. And it's a question that I thought I'd look at in two or three different ways. The first one was to look at the idea of dying and a woman dying. I haven't got a picture, because it would be insulting, of Caravaggio's The Death of the Virgin, but that is an extremely powerful, realist piece of work where the focus is not so much on the act of dying, but on some sort of aspirational celebration. But I have got a couple of others here that I don't mind sharing with you. Another one on the same topic by Annabel Carracci. It's the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. This is a woman who would have been quite worn by this stage in the process of dying. I'll let you hang it and throw it around. If you want to have another image of view of death, this is the death of Cleopatra, 1658, by Cagnacci. A healthy, vibrant woman, although she had had about four or five children by that stage and had lived quite a hard life, surrounded by healthy, vibrant other women. The sort of things you can do with myths and events in history. And the third one, which I thought would really brings home the sort of the fine arts view of what death is all about, is the Lady of Shalott, Waterhouse, 1888, a Pre-Raphaelite painter. And you can see that these images of dying and death are nothing like this. First of all, they're celebrations, they're aspiring. They were written for an audience, they were drawn, painted works that were designed for another audience. This has been designed for a present, current day audience. So Ron Murich is not these aspirational, idealized goddesses, female people. So I had another go and thought about this. What about the part of the hyperrealism, the realistic image of sculpture? And there's one about an image of that came to mind was Michelangelo's David. Now that's a huge sculpture, big high thing. It's about, I don't know, what's about five meters high, a bit like a girl on her end, and it's got enlarged hands, enlarged feet, but it's got beautiful genitalia, beautiful rib bones. It's a perfect specimen. It was printed, it was made as about a god, when you could draw idealized gods. They're aspirational. It's got large hands and large feet because it was designed to go on top of a high building, but didn't end up there. Ron Murich is not, his artist, his sculptures are not idealized godlike creations. They're real. So looking for a link into the fine arts to answer a question is not going to come from that direction. The third group I thought about were the contemporary hyper-realists. And here I was helped by Sally Blundell in her article in The Listener, where she mentioned two. First of all, John, they're both Americans, John Dandre, who basically specialized in producing evocative, sensuous, unclothed young females, life-size. Ron Muick's work is not sensuous, and it's not provocative in that arousing sense, so it doesn't fit in there. The other person that she mentioned was Duane Hanson, who's known for doing life-size casts of tourists at the beach, looking at the ideas of life. Again, these are almost caricatures of the things that we value. His was about value. So, again, I don't see Ron Muick fitting into that category. So I just have to come to the point where I do actually see Ron fitting with his work, and particularly with this one. And to do that, I have to go back to ask what it is that excites me about art and artists. And it's the way they're trying to communicate something that is vivid, but which is open to contemplation. Something that is more than just the flash of a TV camera or a TV screen. Something that you can carry away with you and work with you. And it's also usually something I'm looking for that is like holding a mirror up to the human condition so that we can see ourselves. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is the human condition that this particular work is, Ron is inviting us to consider? And where I see this is that we're in an age where probably we're the first in this room, the first generation of people who have had to consider old age as a factor in the life of the ordinary person. It's always been there for one or two people who are very rich, but at this stage it's now becoming a commonplace. Life is being fulfilled. We've got someone who here who has left a legacy. She's left presumably possibly children, co-workers, the people she's touched through her life. She spread herself through life, and now she's slipping away. And in a way, this mirror is asking us, quite appropriately, I think, to say, why is she tucked here in a dim corner? It's because these are issues that we are still tucking into a dim corner in our society. And for me, that's what an artist should be doing, is helping us look into those dim corners. So here we have old woman in a bed, tucked against a wall, dim wall, on the way out, and we're left with very vivid memories and a bit to think about, thanks to Ron Muick. And thank you.